I'm expecting.
Hi everyone, welcome back yet again to the Reinvent Health Podcast. This afternoon I chat with Gary Jackson from Jackson's Real Food Market. Gary is no stranger to the show and we've hosted many a store tour, video series and book launch together. Today we're chatting about real food. There's a lot of confusion about what it means to eat real food as opposed to processed and ultra-processed foods and how they affect our health. We will also be talking about our upcoming masterclass starting on the 23rd of May. This will take place over three Thursday evenings live at the Bryanston store and will give you a chance to really understand how what you're eating is affecting your health and longevity. We will debunk many diet-related myths and teach you how to nurture your brain and body with real food. I can guarantee that by the end of this masterclass, you will never go looking for a diet ever again or be tempted to try a fad that you see online. Knowledge is everything, so please don't be shy to come armed with all of your most controversial questions. Some of the topics that we will cover include understanding macronutrients and how they affect you at different stages of life. Also, how much of each macronutrient you should be eating and what that actually looks like. How to create a meal plan that isn't time consuming and will please your whole family. Nutrition and brain health. What your cravings are trying to tell you. And how to take the hassle out of food prep, as well as how flavor, texture, scent, and color affect brain chemistry and cravings. Psychoneurobiology, which is the brain-body connection, and accountability in health, why you need a guide through this process, as well as the benefits of exercise for your brain. To find out more or to book, please go to my website, reinventhealth.co.za, or visit any of our social media channels and follow the links or simply WhatsApp 083-265-5862. Please enjoy. So Gary, thank you once again for joining me on the Reinvent Health Podcast. It's been a while. You've been on the show a number of times, but I think the last time you were on this show was closer to COVID when we were trying to just understand what was going on in the world. And we've come through that, hopefully the wiser. And now we're going to talk about real food. So thank you for joining me today. Why do you think there's so much confusion about what to eat?
Yeah, it's a great one. I think that people are now being bombarded with so much information, whether it's through social media or websites or friends, and everybody's got their own interpretation of food and diet, and it gets really confusing. And I think you come out of a dinner party or a function or a meeting sometimes really dizzy. So that hasn't helped the cause at all. And it's actually really quite simple.
It is simple. And I think people are always looking for something expensive and complicated because we've been taught that simple things don't work. Or I don't know why. Why do you think that's the case?
It's you know, the background to the food industry isn't a pretty one. It's people trying to make a profit, it's shareholders trying to extract maximum profits out of these supply lines. And it's not pretty. There's a lot of monopolistic behavior. There's a lot of price control. There's a lot of abuse of supply chain producers and farmers, you know, so that they actually don't always get a fair price for their product. So there's a hell of a lot broken. And for a consumer to walk into a store and know that they're getting a good deal is tough because they don't even know what's in the product. The labeling of products isn't managed the way it should be. And, you know, that also leads to confusion. And, you know, sometimes when there are 32 ingredients in a pack of Peloni, you know, bullshit baffles brains. And unfortunately, that's kind of, okay, so, you know, I don't know what to do next. This is very confusing. You know, what do I look for? And then you tell people, well, just buy something with one or two ingredients in it. And it's also not great advice because sometimes things with 10 ingredients are amazing. And other times something with two ingredients, which is flour and sugar, isn't great, you know. So you end up going in circles.
Yes, you do. So there's a lot of people who listen to the show who know you, who shop at your store, who've been to your store tours. But for those people listening who don't know you, who you are, can we give them a little bit of background? Because I think your experience in the food industry is vast and it covers so many different areas of the food industry. You're not just another guy talking about healthy food. You really have been there and you've been on both sides of the fence. So let's give them a potted history of where you came from and how you got to this point.
Okay. So the short answer is I came out of the fast food industry of all places, which isn't real food. It took me a while to work that out. We're talking 30, 35 years ago, but I learned a lot about what not to eat in that journey and what not to eat a lot of. And what to eat more of that would balance out your health, you know, and kind of seeing your body as a Ferrari or a jet, you know, you can't fly the thing without having the dials, and you can't fly the thing without or drive the thing without really knowing and understanding the car or, you know, the jet plane. So, you know, the first step is to get people to kind of understand that what in their body works for them, makes them feel better, and what doesn't. And that's a weird thing, because people just eat because you eat. Everyone eats Kellogg's, so we'll all eat Kellogg's. They haven't really been trained to think about, how does it make me feel? Does it, you know, fuel me for the day? You know, what's my vitality like? What's my personality like? What are my moods doing? And you know, how do I feel when I slump down on the couch? Do I collapse in a heap and then just sleep until the next day? So there's a whole lot of things that you've got to look at. And the more you understand yourself, I guess it's like that with psychology, it's spirituality, it's all of that. You know, it's an inward look to say what works and what doesn't work for my body, and what will optimize and maximize me to have not just the best life, but also to be the best father, mother, sister, whatever, granny, grandpa, whatever it is. You want to be that best person. And so you want to optimize yourself.
I like what you said about how we're not trained to think for ourselves. And I think this in itself is becoming more prolific, because we are fed so much online and we're told so much. Yeah. And we're almost looked down upon when we question things, which is nonsense. And we are not taught to introspect. When you eat something, what does it do? How does it make you feel? That's such a good point. And I think this is also because many, many people are so used to feeling really bad that they've normalized that. You know, nothing irritates me more when people say, well, I'm overweight because of menopause or because it's a function of age. It's simply not. It's a function of the actions. It's what you're putting in your mouth. You're directly responsible for how you feel. And what you said about mood. So I remember you telling us a story about, I mean, you were really ill because you were working terrible hours. You were working in the fast food industry for one of the most famous fast food brands, and you became really ill. And I'd like to know, you know, from your journey, how it was a slow boil. You know, what did it take to get to the point where you, like you say, you checked yourself into the ICU. What did it take to get to that point where you were at breaking point?
Yeah, I think firstly, I had no clue how to drive this car of mine, and what on this car of mine didn't it like? It didn't like no rest. It didn't like extreme stress. It didn't like having to not be fed at normal hours and be fed only when my blood sugar dropped. It didn't like the fact that I wasn't eating enough plant-based foods. And it was essentially my diet, because of where I worked and the proximity of the next possible supermarket, you know, where I could find something reasonably healthy was just miles away, because we were, you know, running a drive-through operation. So it became it became terrible slowly, if that makes any sense. It kind of just creeps up on you, a bit like often people say that, you know, the frog in the hot water, as it's getting hotter and hotter, you just don't realize it. But what did become apparent was that my cognitive ability dropped. In other words, my memory was the first thing that started going. Then I got blurry vision or brain fog. I don't know what they call it, but all I know, it was a feeling of like, I think I'm shutting down. So, you know, again, no one is supposed to eat that amount of fast food and have that amount of stress all at the same time. No exercise, hardly out in the sunlight, but just really just working flat out, you know, because a lot of youngsters are like that. They're pursuing their careers. They'll do what it takes to get to the top and to be the best person they can be and to be able to provide for their family. So it's not like wrong, but it was just realizing that, you know, when you start getting rashes all over your body and your blood pressure is suddenly crazy high and your cholesterol's out of place and, you know, you can't remember yesterday. And, you know, then it's almost like it was slow, Nikki, but then it suddenly just went to a point where it was like fall off a cliff. You know, then it was like, it's too late now. And that's with any health condition. I mean, even with a thing like a cancer, you know, the quicker you pick it up and do something about it, the more. And I didn't. I left it till the end. And I really honestly felt that the way I was running my life was going to kill me. And I was preparing for death. I mean, I was really, really bad.
Wow, that's extreme. You know, and what you said is it's never, it takes time and we ignore symptoms. And very few diseases are quick and overnight, except for like the odd virus, like a cold or a flu, that's pretty quick. But these chronic diseases of lifestyle start years and years before the symptoms start to manifest because it whispers. And if we don't listen to the whispering and the nudging from your body, eventually it becomes a really dangerous disease. And we go, well, now what? And I'm sure you get people in your stores every day coming with big eyes and saying to you, help, I've been diagnosed with diabetes, cancer, heart disease, high blood pressure. I've been told I need to start eating right. And no one's given me advice. No one's told me how to eat right. And I'm so confused. What are the most common things that you see coming into your store? Disease profiles, people who are desperate to change their health.
Yeah. So, You get this. We get three types of people coming into the store. One would be a sports person who understands their body but wants to be fueled at optimum, but like a racehorse, they just want to eat the best protein and clean plant-based products without pesticides and nonsense. Then you get a mom who wants to fuel her family and her husband, or the other way around, the husband who wants to fuel the wife and the kids with the best possible nutrients. Because they do understand. And then you get the person that's come out of ICU, which is, it happens all the time. I mean, either cancer diagnosis or a stroke, into recovery after a stroke, diabetes, massive. People are just eating to fuel themselves and think that if you get the best rand per kilo, it's a great deal and you're saving, but you're not saving that much because you're going to get sick and ill and you're going to have all the worst symptoms happening to you, like what happened to me. So for us, it was about, for me, the absolute turning point in my life was when I started eating cleanly. And I didn't think of how, I didn't even know where to look, but I met someone who understood the Mediterranean diet backwards and said, look, this keeps people in, you know, Greece and Italy and Spain alive until they're 100 and they're still in the fields working. Why don't you try this for 3 months? And I did it. And the turnaround, Nikki, was unbelievable. It was almost like my body was screaming for just that. Just give me the right fuel and I will serve you. You know, that was the message that I got. And my health bounced back from zero to 50% in 3 months and probably to about 80% after a year. And that was no drugs, all drugs in the dustbin, all drugs, you know, that everyone was trying to help, because I went to every practitioner on the planet. But at the end of the day, I needed to eat clean, and that worked. Whatever it was that was clean, and let me define that quickly for you. It's food that's just not tampered with, or tampered with as little as possible. It's got the least amount of human hands on it. It's got the least amount of outside inputs into it. And it's not sprayed. It's not manipulated in a laboratory. It's just pure, good, solid food like our grandparents only had in those days. They only had real food. Non-real food came out, you know, in after the Industrial Revolution and when the fast food nation started. And unfortunately, it all stems from food companies wanting their food to travel from Durban to Cape Town and from Bloemfontein to Durban, I don't know, and backwards. So, you know, this whole chase for zero waste food so that their product can last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, has been the pinnacle problem, because now your food manufacturer is building food that can last forever, but forgetting that the human needs to last forever, and how much are they compromising that human's ability to live longer?
But yes, I mean, the next question I had was, what is the difference between processed food or minimally processed food and ultra processed food? And I think you've answered it in saying that it really comes down to shelf life, what chemicals have been added in there to make that food last longer. But what else do you think is, you know, there's the tomato, and then there's the tomato sauce that the Nonna makes, you know, the Nonna sauce, which is still processing the tomato, but it's not in a way that's causing harm. But then there's the next step when you get it in a bottle, in a plastic ketchup bottle, which, and it will last 3 years in that bottle. That's the end of the chain of the ultra processed food, where it doesn't even resemble where it came from. So in your experience, how do we, I've got a client who said to me today, and she's been with me for years, and she said to me, what's ultra processed food? And I was like, have I not explained this adequately? And I don't think we do. I don't think we really understand or can explain or have explained to people really what is ultra processed food, because we've normalized it. What? How would you explain that to somebody who came into your store?
Okay, so maybe a good example would be to go back to my example of a polony. A polony is an ultra-processed piece of food. No one is sure, and it'll never tell you on the package exactly what meat and exactly how much meat is in there, and what part of it, of the animal, is it, and how many times has it been boiled, how many times has it been soaked, in what, how many times has it been through a chemical process, a machine, how many times has it been extruded. You know, you don't know any of that, but you'll eat it because it's cheap, and you don't ask yourself, well, why is it so cheap? Because it could be, you know, zero nutrition, and it's a very cheap thing to build. And then on the other side, you'll have a farmer who has, let's say, an outdoor reared pig farm, and they will process the animals, and they'll make a pork sausage with non-irradiated spices and, you know, just two or three ingredients. And it would be like the traditional British pork sausage. So, you know, that has been processed, but it's so minimal. It's just been minced.
That's right.
Hand minced, by the way. And it's had one or two things done to it, and it's very high in nutrition compared to the polony. And the price difference per nutrient, or even per taste, you know, you've got to look at food on how many nutrients and how does it taste and how does it make me feel. You know, if you've got acid reflux like I have, if I eat polony, you know, I have to worry and ask myself, like, is it right to be burping, you know, the polony flavor for, you know, 2 hours after my meal? You know, it's your body actually telling you, hey guys, you know, I don't like what you've just given me. And, you know, it can even be a simple thing like broccoli. I mean, you could give a kid broccoli and they would fight and kick, but in their body, in their nose, their palate, nothing in their body tells them that they need that piece of broccoli right now. And they kick and scream against it, and we force it down the kid. You know, and again, that kid probably more in tune in terms of their body than we are, because they're still young and, you know, they haven't experienced a lot. So it's really food that is as close to its original form, food that ideally has been grown in soil, if it's produce, and if it's protein, that it's been an outdoor reared animal. It's a huge difference to a factory farmed animal in terms of taste, in terms of nutrition, in terms of texture. Sure. And the science is there. You just need to to look at it. The problem in the food game is that people choose their science, or they choose a part of the science that suits their argument. And that's also what brings us back into that loop that you spoke about.
Yeah, very much. And everything is very, I mean, studies are crazy. And you know, you can take a part of a study and say, well, a study says X, Y, and Z, and you might be right, but it doesn't prove anything. And these things are used for marketing, and it's very misleading and confusing for the public. But just to go back to what you said, that stood out for me when you spoke about the pork sausage, is the satisfaction that you get from real food. And when you've got highly processed or ultra processed mass market food, it's not manufactured for satisfaction. It's manufactured so that you eat more. So you just don't quite get satisfied or satiated enough so that you buy more, eat more, and carry on spending money, where real food hits the spot very quickly and you end up eating less. So even though that pork sausage might cost 10 times more, I'm exaggerating, than the polony, you will eat 10 times less anyway because you just don't need more. So let's dig into the satisfaction index of real food before we go further.
Well, one of the things that we really did not know when we started this journey, because ultimately at the beginning, it was, where can I buy nutrient-dense food? Where can I buy real food? And where can I go and eat out? Because I couldn't eat out at a single restaurant. And there was no supermarket that had the food that I was wanting. And that was just, can you tell me if this is sprayed or unsprayed? You know, and that was a basic question they couldn't tell you. They couldn't even tell you where your meat comes from. They couldn't even tell you whether it was, you know, which country it was from. It was a nightmare. So that's where our journey kind of started, was to say, let's make it real simple. Let's find local farmers. Let's find people who are passionate.
Yes.
And you know what's crazy about them? Almost every single one of my suppliers came through a terrible health journey. All of them have had a knock with their health because of their diet. And they have gone into making food that their bodies like, and then selling it to other people, and that's been an amazing way that we've grown. But the point I wanted to make was the one that you said about the pork sausage, and I wanted to swap examples. We are just coming out of the apple season, so now apples only come off trees like 3 months back from now. So let's call it December, January, February, March, and a little bit of April. That's the only time in South Africa that trees bear fruit and bear apples. So when you come into Jackson's in the middle of March, you pick up a box of organic apples. I mean, it's because I'm old enough, it reminds me of my young days sitting on the pavement. As you crunch into that apple, the juice just jumps out your mouth. It isn't even going all in your mouth. The crunch is amazing. The skin is awesome. You know, it's guess what? It's actually not that expensive because it's in season and there's an abundance of them. But if you go and buy an apple in the middle of summer, which is not when apples like to fruit, apple trees, you will get something that is possibly, and there have been stories of apples being stored for almost a year in cold storage, dipped in preservative chemicals and or covered with wax. Now, the science and technology is amazing, and it does these things because that apple on the supermarket shelf looks incredible, but it's not going to have the nutrients. It's not going to have the taste. And unfortunately, you're going to pay for it because someone's got to pay for the storage of that apple for that long a time. So when we managed to tick three boxes, and this is why we've grown so fast, is does it taste better than the norm? Yes. Does it cost less than the norm? Yes. You know, is the nutrient level higher than the rest? Yes. And your point has to be made again I could eat a kilogram of polony and finally feel full, and I would have probably two pork sausages and feel as full. So for the same meal, I'm spending the same amount of money, the exact same amount of money. But on the one hand, I'm eating two amazing pork sausages. On the other side, I'm eating a whole kg of polony or half a kg of polony. And guess what? 5 hours down the line, I'm starving after I've eaten the polony because it's gone through my body. It hasn't been absorbed by my body. Whereas the two pork sausages have filled me and I don't have to eat again until tomorrow morning if I don't want to. So that's the whole thing about it actually saves you money is something that people have to get into. Now, you know, we have to say that a massive amount of our unemployed population and even those people that are working on the breadline, it's very difficult for them. It's very difficult for them because they can only afford food that is highly tampered with. Polony, maize meal that's been so sprayed and genetically modified, it's scary. So, you know, if a massive part of your population are eating in this way because it's all they can afford, that's a really bad indictment on the government and on the food systems in the world. It's not just South Africa.
No, it's not just South Africa. And I mean, with that kilo of polony, you're taking in a kilo of coloring and preservatives and chemicals that are endocrine disruptors and that cause massive problems down the line. And it can't be proven in the short term, but we all know that in the long term, this is actually what ends up happening.
Yeah, Nikki, it's the autoimmunity. I mean, you've mentioned it before. That's such a big one, and no one really understands what autoimmunity disruption is, and what it does to you, and you know if it's happening to you. I mean, most people don't know that, and those are the conversations that we love to unpack, and we do this at Jackson's. We have people around groups of 20, 30, and you're planning one with us soon. You know, it's just an enlightenment evening. It just gives you the tools to navigate those aisles and feed your family for the same amount of money, but by having, you know, the right inputs. It's actually really as simple as that. So all we've done, Nikki, is we've looked at an alternative food supply to the norm. We've found a good farmer with good soil who knows how to compost, who knows how to look after that soil so that it can feed the next 50 generations. And that farmer grows, whatever that farmer grows in his soil is going to be unbelievably nutrient dense because it's grown in a medium that is thriving with life. And that's energy. And at the end of the day, the more energy, decent, good energy you can consume, the more your body will show that or reflect that energy that you're consuming.
So while we're talking about farmers, let's talk about traceability, because even our biggest, most expensive, well-known supermarkets in this country, and I'm sure it's all over the world, talk the talk. They make it look as if their meat and produce comes from free-range farms, from happy animals grazing in pastures, and we know this isn't true. And if you had to go to one of these big supermarkets and ask anybody there where that cow came from and how it was fed, they'd look at you as if you were smoking something. So in your stores, there's traceability. You can literally meet the farmer and go there and see exactly what's going on. Let's talk about the importance of that kind of accountability when it comes to eating.
So the basis of our supply program is to have absolute transparency and honesty with the farmer. So what does that mean? It means that we would only pick like-minded farmers. We would only pick farmers that understand how to rear animals, how to grow grass for animals to eat, how to look after soil so that whatever you plant in it, and they've got to be on the same, they have to have the same passion because it's not easy. It's not easy to grow things without taking these shortcuts through chemicals and plowing and, you know, all these other crazy things. But again, big food can't do this on a big scale. They really can't. It's just impossible. And the cost would be crazy. So, you know, we're one of those niche food suppliers that will harness the right people to make the right products that will feed and fuel, you know, the people in the cities. And a lot of our produce comes from out of the city. And a lot of people that grew up out of the city love our food because it reminds them of the stuff that my mother grew outside her house. And the sheep and the goats that we slaughtered maybe over a special occasion. I mean, that was such a special moment for them. And, you know, when they come into a supermarket and they can experience that taste, those tastes of the country, if I want to call it that, the outside, the rural areas. Wow, you know, that's very special, because in the food game in a city, you're just getting convenience. I mean, they're selling convenience. They're not selling nutrients. And that's where the two worlds collide. So in terms of getting, that's what I mean by a like-minded person who understands that, someone that respects the planet and someone that respects other humans and pays people well and runs proper businesses. That's all that comes into the picture. And so, you know, we almost become business incubators where we show people the way, and we help them with their packaging, and we help them with the management of their little businesses without having any ownership. It's just a mentoring process to say, you know, you've got what it takes, but let's cut your school fees short. You know, let's link you up with other farmers and other producers that have walked this path so that you can get up and running, you know, much, much faster. So in terms of a farm visit, and, you know, in big foods, it would be guys with white coats and big clipboards, you know, running around trying to tick things. We bring a customer. Customers are welcome on the farm tours. We ensure that all the farmers in that area are at that farm visit. And we make sure that the retailers that buy that product are also at that farm visit. So there'll be about 10 or 20 of us. We go around, and it's a consensus thing. We all have the same tick sheet. We all hear all the questions and presentations. And at the end of the day, is, you know, could this farm be deemed as organically grown and organically certified? And the answer is yes. It's a cheap process, but it's so powerful because it's transparent, and it's by the people. It's like the village comes to sort out the bad guys and sort out the good guys. You know, so it's very much a simple, basic principle of finding passionate people who care about human health.
Look, I mean, that just embodies the spirit of Ubuntu, what you've just said. I am, you are, we are. If we don't look after each other, no one's going to survive this game. And I mean, food being so part of mind, body, and soul, and I can only speak for us Africans living in Africa, how intrinsic it is to... Oh, obviously all over the world, but I mean, this is so much a part of us, and looking after each other is so much a part of what we do in this country, believe it or not. Some people might think otherwise, but it's true that at the end of the day, we all just want to see each other succeed, because your success is my success. So, and I really think that that is part of the success of what you do, the energy, what you bring to your stores, and your ethos is very much there. So, you know, I think that needs to be recognized.
Yeah, thank you very much. And, you know, it's been a hell of a journey, but at the end of the day, it's all going to be worth it, because, you know, we are, it's a bit, I hate using the word convert, but once you convert from, and I mean, to use the word crap food to real food, you can't go back. It's weird. Your body will tell you, listen, don't touch that, because that's, you know, where's the stuff that you used to eat last month? So for us, we hate the word diet. We talk about eating lifestyles. You know, we're not judgmental whether it's vegan or whether it's the carnivore diet. You know, as long as it makes you get up in the morning, feel alert and alive and enthusiastic, you know, we'll support your eating plan. But, you know, if you wake up and eat Kit Kats all day, you're not going to feel fantastic. You're gonna have some symptoms. And if you do feel those symptoms, then change course, you know, because we're actually supposed to be the most intellectual beings on the planet, but we must just act like it sometimes.
Act like it sometimes, exactly that. So just, we're going to just quickly mention the 3-week masterclass that we are hosting starting on the 23rd of May. And leading into that, what do you think are the three Here are two or three most common misconceptions around healthy eating that we're expecting to receive from those in the audience who are planning on joining us at the masterclass. What do you think we're going to be dealing with?
So we're going to break it down into like eating for dummies almost. And we don't say that in a condescending way. It's so intimidating, deciding what to eat and what not to eat and without being influenced by all this advertising. So when you come into that class, you're going to get to understand yourself. You're going to understand what each food group can do for you. And hopefully we're going to teach you a way to monitor your gut health and listen to your body and know based on a number of things, the color of your urine, the quality of your excrement. Those are big clues, and the whole of the animal kingdom use that as a health, the first health indicator. If humans do, if your urine is really dark, how many people know that all you got to do is drink 3 or 4 glasses of water a day and then it's gone? You don't need a doctor, but you can course correct. So it's a whole lot of those little things that you might have forgotten. It's just giving you a solid foundation in terms of, I can feel better. I don't have to always feel like this. We accept that the frog in the tub is just getting hotter, and we're just going to accept it. And please, everyone out there has to know that there are ways to turn that heat down. There are ways to make yourself feel better. And it's really, really simple. It's not something hugely scientific, and you're not going to walk away confused from this masterclass. You're going to be able to teach other people the right way. And that's how we spread the message.
Yes, you'll become a food evangelist because you'll feel so damn well that you'll tell everybody. And it's really, really so simple. What I love about these classes is the support people give each other. So it's all very well, and I see people every day. I've got clients who come to me every day, one-on-one coaching, and there's a place and a time for that, and it's hugely valuable. I've had people who've been with me for years and years. But working with a group and knowing that you are not alone, that other people also have issues and also have pitfalls, and sharing ideas about how to overcome them together, there's some magic in that. So if anybody has been sitting on the fence, and I know there's a lot of people who've been sitting on the fence wondering whether they should take the plunge and get some coaching or go and do a masterclass, now is the time for once and for all to jump in there and find the support you need with other people who are going through, and I promise you, going through exactly what you're going through. And I can promise you as well, this is going to be a lot easier and a lot more pleasant than you anticipate, because there's a level of and a sort of trepidation about making changes. Changes are scary, but I can promise you this is not going to be scary. This is going to be enlightening. So anyone who's hesitating, don't let that hold you back. You've got your entire life to live, and don't let the fear of perhaps being told, well, you should eat this or shouldn't eat that, because that's not what we're going to do. We're just going to give you the facts and the education. We're not going to be there wagging fingers and telling you you're bad if you ate the wrong thing. So that's something I needed to just, get out the way.
Nikki, also, it has to be said that the value that you contribute from your professional experience and your experience with so many clients is that, you've probably heard and seen it all. So all you're really doing is sharing what's really going on out there. And you aren't seeing the healthy people. You're seeing the people that have challenges. And so, you're so good at sharing that information and also explaining why. Because until I understood why it's not good to have vegetable oils or canola oil, until I knew why, then I stopped. But you had to give me a factual reason, and that's exactly what you do. But you go further. You explain not only that. You explain what happens in your body when you consume, cheap vegetable oil. And that for me, when I started working with you, I found hell of a empowering, because I now knew why, and I also you answered the question, well, what's in it for me? And as I trialed new things and tried eating less of this, I felt it. what was it that I would benefit? And that's what most people do when they're sitting behind their little phone scrolling, like, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Is it a bargain or is it something that's going to help? Should I take that fat loss pill? You know, it's crazy. But this is real basic stuff where you will walk away with so many jewels and pearls of wisdom that you might need to come back and do the course again, you know, in a few months' time, just to stay in tune. And it is a community, Nikki. Once we've been through this process, you know, you have a community that shop together. We are always available at any time, and so help is out there. And if we can't help you, we definitely will refer you to two or three people that we have heard testimony that they can help someone in your condition. It's worth a try. So it'll also shorten your journey. It didn't have to take me 7 years to get out of that horrible loop. You know, we can do this for you in a month.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, here's a little thought before we wrap up, is that your entire muscular system, not skeletal, but muscular system, renews itself entirely. All your soft tissue renews itself entirely in 3 months, which means that the body you have now will be a completely different body in 3 months' time on a cellular level. And it's directly connected to what you're eating. So you are what you eat. So within 3 months of doing that course, you could have an entirely new system. And, you know, it sounds a little bit peculiar to say that, but this is a fact. And this is quantifiable, measurable, provable. It's nothing new. But when you think about it from that perspective, that's a bit of a profound thought, because you're changing your health destiny. And I think that is so powerful. Especially, like you say, you're doing it with a group, you're doing it with the support, and community is so important as well.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better.
If anyone listening wants to book, they can talk to either of us directly. They can contact us through our social media channels. I will put a link to how you can sign up in the show notes, but it's all over both of our social media pages, links in bios, on Facebook, in LinkedIn. Or you can, I think you can also sign up in store. There's a poster in both the stores with a QR code. If you just scan the QR code, it'll take you directly to the page. There are 100 ways to sign up. So there's really no excuse not to go ahead and book. These 3 weeks can change your life. I promise you that.
Great. I can't wait to get this going. And I heard that you're almost half full. So I think we'll have to even start planning the next one. But, you know, if your listeners act fast, they can still get in on this first one, which I think will be a big one, because it's one of the first ones we've done, you know, as a structured course together.
Yes. And it's going to be super fun and entertaining. And you will get to eat really good food as well. That's very important to know.
Yep. That sounds great.
Okay. So, Gary, thank you again. Have a fantastic weekend. I hope you're taking it easy. And spending time with the family and looking after yourself. And we will chat soon.
Awesome, Nikki. Thanks again for the opportunity.